I just want to bring today a brief word regarding hope. Okay, Proverbs, he says that hope deferred or hope set on another thing makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life. Okay. And so desire fulfilled is the tree of life. So I want to go into this thing of hope. We're coming to the end of this pandemic that has been, this thing that's been going on for the last number of months. We're finding out more and more as time passes. And, that God is doing some great things in people in the midst of this. And I kind of feel, and I had this vision before, or the day of Rosh Hashanah, Thursday night, about 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday. And the Lord said that he's peeling away all the pretensions. He's revealing the posers. He's revealing the performers. I mean, talking about the church, in the church. And he's revealing all of that so that he can come out and be exalted, because he is the king. He's the Lord, right? So I want to bring to you this word to keep you moving forward. I mean, I've had a number of friends diagnosed with this thing, and it's like, you know, are they true diagnoses? I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that they were sick. And so, and all but two are still alive. And so that's awesome. You know, it's like, you know, when you know thousands and thousands of people, you have to recognize that, you know, something, that God is doing something in them as well as in you. So I want to read Romans 15, verse 13 here, and we're going to tie all these things together today. Verse 13, now may God, I love this, may God, the inspiration and foundation of hope. In the New American Standards, it says, now may the God of hope, okay, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope, until you radiate with hope. May he come to you. May he fill you overflowing. I know that something is not full until it spills over the top. And then so God is wanting you to be filled with hope. Now, may God, I love this, he is the inspiration and foundation of hope. And now I want to go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. You know, this Hall of Faith chapter. Someday those who believe that are born today are going to be in this chapter up in heaven. Anyway, he says in chapter 11, verse 1, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. And then in chapter 12, I love this. He says that we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. He's the author and he's the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. I mean, in construction, we have finishing nails and we have, things to do to finish. You know, we have routers, things like that to help finish the job. In the cabinets and all that we're doing. So let me tell you this. Faith, the Bible says that we've all been given a measure of faith. You all have it. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So faith is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. And this God, and now may God of all faith fill you to overflowing. Okay? And hope is the thing. It's In another version, it says now faith, not tomorrow faith, not yesterday faith, but now faith. Okay, is the substance of things hoped for. And then, so this hope is not a gee, I wish. This hope is actually an assurance, and an expectation of something good. And this is what this, and he is the God who continually overwhelms us and overflows us with what is good, because God is good. Hear me. God is good. Now, yesterday we talked about the breaking of the political spirit and the religious spirit. Well, this is what hope does, because it takes you out of just taking what man says, and it brings you into the Word of God, where you can go in and search these things out. We need to be like Bereans, who heard what Paul had to say, didn't take him at face value, but searched the Scriptures to see if those things that he said were so. And so you need to do that as well. You need to search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. And so, and keeping all of this in mind as we press forward here, keeping all these things in mind, we recognize that it is this thing of hope that keeps us moving forward. I remember when I had my meltdown about 6 weeks ago, that that I lost hope. I forgot who I was, and I forgot who the Lord was. See, the enemy, when he brought discouragement, he didn't tell me who God was. He didn't tell me who I was. He left that, conveniently, he left that out. Okay? Now, those of you who know me know I like to have fun and I like to enjoy myself. And, you know, and I love comedy, I love all this stuff. But hear what I have to say. I'm not joking around here. Hope is what keeps you going. Hope gets you out of bed in the morning. Hope brings you peace. Hope takes what is yours and makes it real for you. Now, what is in heaven, you know, we keep praying this prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, praised, honored be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Just like it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. And so what's happening in the heavenly realm, what's happening in the kingdom of God, is more real than what's happening around you. And I'm not talking about some space age stuff. I'm talking about reality today. Okay, I remember we were praying for this guy in his wheelchair, and somebody told me, well, you can't tell him that he's healed because he's still in his wheelchair. And I said, well, you know, it's the evidence of things not seen. I believe that God is taking him out of his wheelchair and making him to walk. And I'm not denying that he's in a wheelchair. I'm not denying that he's in pain. I'm not denying that that blind guy is blind. I'm not denying that that leper has leprosy. I'm not denying that that person has cancer. What I'm saying is, the greater reality is that there is no sickness in heaven, and therefore, because of Jesus, it does not have to exist here on earth either. Now, I haven't seen 100% healings of people that I've prayed for, but what I have seen is many, many who weren't healed before are walking in health today. I go back to that guy with the bad leg, you know, and his leg was shorter than the other, and so I was praying for him, and what happened was, as I prayed for him, his leg grew out an inch and a half. His leg grew out an inch and a half. And what it did, I found out later, 2 weeks later, that the guy was missing an inch and a half bone in his leg. God brought a miracle into that man's body. And what we have to see is that it is in heaven, and you have to see it in your heart before you will actually see it in real life. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We're not getting it. We already have it. We have to start walking in it. Jesus didn't see the widow's son dead. He saw the widow's son alive. Jesus did not see Lazarus dead. He saw Lazarus sleeping or still alive. And he looked at Martha and he said, didn't I tell you that if you believe? And she goes, well, yes, Lord, I believe that he would be raised on the last day. No, 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 today. You just have to say, okay, my body has to align itself with the word of God, with the word of truth. My body must align itself. Your body has to align itself. Your heart has to align itself with what the Bible says. I just love this. I just love these passages. I want to read this again. Fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. You will have uncontainable joy. Does that mean you're going to laugh? I don't know. Possibly. You don't have to laugh all the time to have joy. Joy is bigger than just laughing, although joy does bring laughter. Contentment is also a part of joy that you have to understand. And so when this God, the inspiration and the foundation of hope, fills you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. This is Paul's prayer. Hi, Susan. This is Paul's prayer for the Romans. All right? This is Paul's prayer for the Romans. He's winding everything down in this book, in the 16 chapters here. He's winding it down. This is Romans 15, verse 13 again. And he says, and then he continues it on. Fill you with overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And then he continues and says, and may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with His superabundance until you radiate with hope. Until you radiate with hope. In other words, hope oozes out of you. Hope comes out of you. It's like you're like a fountain of hope. And people that hang around you feel hopeful. All right? Many people, come to me, and especially now, I haven't done a whole lot of ministry in the church, obviously because of this thing that we're going through. But I've gotten a lot of messages, and a lot of people have said this, and I thank the Lord. But people are telling me, Tom, you don't understand the impact that you have in people's life. The hope that you bring, the joy that you bring. And really, quite frankly, I don't see it. But they all say it oozes out of me. It's like when they like to hang around me because it just comes out of me. Okay? It just comes out. And God wants it to come out of you. He wants to fill you, and He wants the Holy Spirit to radiate hope from you. And again, I'm going to say this, Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith. You have to believe now. I love testimonies. I love what happened in the past. I love studying revival. I love studying the revivals of the past, because I want to see them again. What was the common theme that all these people had? Yes, Lana, atmospheric change is so important. And this is all part of this. It changes atmospheres. And so I study these revivalists, and I find out that they just went after God, and they didn't stop until they got this move of the Holy Spirit. They didn't stop until they received the move of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about their church is full. That's not what revival is. Revival is not a full church. I think of Evan Roberts, the Welsh revival. All the churches were full before the revival. But see, the bars were full also. The sports stadiums were full also. But when the revival hit, the bars had to close down. They had to release officers because there was no crime. They had to retrain the mules going into the mines because the mules only understood cursing and cussing and foul language. They had to retrain mules so that they can understand clean language, because the Welsh people understood that when you get saved, you change. In Azusa Street, people were getting saved by the thousands. People six blocks away were falling out under the power of the Holy Spirit because of the presence of God that was happening at 312 Azusa Street. And that was started from a prayer meeting. That was a continual prayer meeting every day, seeking after the face of God. If I can tell you all the things that the revivals have, they all sought the face of God. And they had hope that God was going to change society. We are in such, in America especially, I haven't been to Europe in a while or Africa in a while. Actually, I've never been to Africa. But understanding that this whole point I'm trying to make is, in order to have revival, we are on the cusp right now of having, or precipice of having, a revival at this moment. We are in the biggest vacuum spiritually in the history of mankind. And so God is going to start to pour out his Holy Spirit. He says that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. One version says, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And another version says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that word knowledge means intimacy. It's going to have an intimate, personal relationship with the glory of God. It's not just here. It comes in here. It comes in your heart. This is where hope begins. I wake up in the morning and I go, wow. Now, I'm in a lot of pain. I mean, my back's been stiff for about 3 weeks. I'm working on my fourth week now of just this painful back and hip and just praying for God to release it. And I've been doing what I had to do, just loosening up. Today was the first day I got up without pain. It doesn't mean I stayed that way. I mean, it got stiff as I've progressed throughout the day. But there's change in the air. And all you need to have around you is people who believe. Not people that wish, but people that believe. Things are going to change. You're going to watch what's going to happen in the United States. We are in a place right now where God's going to pour out his Spirit like it's never been done before. And you're going to see not a party, not a political party be exalted, but you're going to see the name of Jesus exalted. Think of all the years. This is cool. Think of all the years that we've spent, that people have spent, not we, but people have spent trying to push out the gospel, push out God, get Jesus out of the picture. Let's make Jesus a curse word. So they did that. And they made Jesus a curse word. The Romans tried it back in the first century. The Babylonians tried it before that. The Egyptians tried it before that. And whatever's going to happen now, I mean, you can go into this vision that Nebuchadnezzar had seen with this creature that had that finally ended up collapsing. Well, the United States is in there. This Western religion is in there. And this Western idea is in there. And God is taking it out right now. And he's saying this. God is saying, hope. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. Some trust in vehicles. Some trust in power. But he says, put your trust in the living God who created all of it. What is it you're going through right now? What is the situation? And I have a friend that said this. He says, any situation that doesn't bring hope or let you see hope is a lie from the enemy. And you need to start bringing hope. Is there a child that has run away? You know, is there a prodigal child that you have that you want to have come back? Hope. Put your hope in God. Is there a pain in your body? Is there a sickness that you're going through? A family member is going through cancer. I mean, I know this little toddler, 3-4 year old girl. Her name is Jocelyn. She's got brain cancer, and I'm trying to bring the family hope. Hope. Put your hope in God. Oh, soul, why are you downcast within me? David said this. Why are you hurting within me? Put your trust, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. God is a God of hope. Whether you believe it here or not, God is a God of hope, and just trust him for it. I love it. He's the author and he's the perfecter. And I love how the Passion Translation says this. I'm almost done, so hang on. In verse 2 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, we look away from the natural realm. Hear me. We look away from the natural realm. We look away from the circumstances that we're facing. We look away from the situations that seem to tear us up. And we fasten our gaze, or we put our gaze upon Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. I love it. The footnote here says that he is the pioneer and he's the perfecter of our faith. He started it and he's going to finish it. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that who he would, that, knowing who that, at, knowing that you would soon be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. See, he went through his present circumstance, the crucifixion, because he knew what was lying ahead. Okay? Now, I didn't have a car for a year. I mean, like over a year, actually. Like 15 months. And, you know, I had to walk a lot of places. I had rides different places. You know, but here's the thing, is that there's a hope. There's a hope that God instills within you. Now, I don't know what my life has coming up. You know, I don't know that answer. I know that I have hopes. I know that I have dreams. Now, all those things were shut off. I shut them off because I was depressed. And depression will do that because the enemy will lie to you all the time. Take those enemy's lies, recognize them, and then you see them, and you go, oh, that's a lie. Now, I said this yesterday, I'll say it again. George Costanza on the Seinfeld said this little line, just a little line that he said in passing, but it's an important line for us as believers. He says, it's not a lie if you believe it. So what the enemy tries to do is try to get you to believe his lie. It's because if he gets you to believe it, it becomes a truth in your life. It may not be the truth, what is actually true, but that lie is starting to gain, starting to get roots. And what it does is it starts to grow inside of you where you believe it. Murphy's Law is part of that. Murphy's Law is a part of that. Oh, you know, if anything can go wrong, it will. And we confess that and we believe it is true. How about believing if anything can go right, it will? Start believing and start having hope again. Many of us today have lost dreams, or we've put them away, or we've let them die. But God is saying it's time to resurrect those dreams. It's time to start again. Your dreams aren't finished. You're still alive. Shucks, Moses didn't start ministry until he was 80. Caleb and Joshua conquered lands when they were 80. We're not over. This thing is just starting, man. If you're of the older generation, just recognize your impact is just beginning. It's starting today. So you take it and you go, believe, have hope, put your trust in God. Jesus didn't, yeah, exactly. Jesus didn't say that all things are possible if they weren't possible. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Why? Because he's God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Read Psalm 61 sometimes. It's wonderful. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Why is that? So that you can have a different perspective on what things are happening. Does that mean that you're going to walk sinless? I don't know. But it means that if you do sin, you have a defense attorney with God, and that's Jesus Christ the righteous. So we put our trust in him, and we put our hope in him, because hope will never disappoint when your hope is Jesus. It won't disappoint you. Hebrews 11:11, how Sarah believed God. She didn't believe, you know, she believed the promise, but she, Sarah came and she said, her faith was not in the circumstances. Her faith was in God, and that's what Hebrews 11:11 is talking about. That's why Sarah had great faith. Anyway, I've rambled on for quite a while, but I hope that you. But my desire is that you have hope. And that you can carry on today. Listen, don't try to live 24 hours at a time sometimes. What I want you to do is if you have to, live 10 minutes. Have hope for 10 minutes. Believe God for 10 minutes. And once you make it through those 10 minutes, go after the next 10 minutes. And go after the next 10 minutes. That's how you can keep moving forward. That's how they ended up winning that battle of Normandy. By taking it, you know, a beachhead or a section of property at a time, they took control of it. And then they moved forward. And then they moved forward. Sometimes all you can do is live for 10 minutes. I remember in my depression that I just wanted to make it through 5 minutes at a time. Okay, I made it through that 5 minutes. Let's go again. And then eventually it got bigger and bigger time because I was able to. Don't fill yourself with too much. But hope. My soul, why are you downcast within me? Put your hope in God, and he'll never disappoint. God bless you guys. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time.